Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, DonParish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Hey, I got a really different topic for you today. I think you'll enjoy this. Hey, let's talk about metaphors in the Bible. Metaphors in the Bible. You know, there are very complicated and confusing verses in the Bible that often novices, false teachers, deceptive people will make worse via terrible study habits, deception, twisting, not understanding basic language concepts. But if we rightly understand them, this can help us get to the truth. So are you familiar with a metaphor? Also sometimes known as hyperbole. Metaphor or hyperbole. Here's a description. It's a figure of speech in which a word or phrase is applied to an object or action to which it is not literally applicable. Right? Sounds kind of confusing, right? Confusing, but let me give you some examples, right? Jesus is the bread of life in John 6:35. Is our Lord and Savior really a hunk of bread? No. That's a metaphor describing him in a way that is not literally applicable. How about some other ones describing our Lord and Savior, our Creator? God's hands. Does God have hands? No. His wings. Does God have wings? No. Seeking his face. Does God have a face? No. Christ is the gate. No, he's not a metal gate. How about he's our shepherd? He's a shepherd in a sense, but not a literal shepherd, right? How about we are his sheep, right? His people are sheep. All metaphors, but not actual literal meaning. So when we understand that, we can see the difference between what we're thinking literally and what is just a descriptive metaphor or hyperbole. One such topic I want to cover in this teaching is animals or creation being alive, giving praise to God. And people say, oh, that's in the Bible. I want to cover this along with this metaphor hyperbole teaching. Do animals and does the earth actually alive and does it give praise to God? There is a lot of pagan idol ways, idolatry, around animals and the earth creation in America and around the world. And some try to go to the Bible and justify it. And I want to give you some metaphor examples with animals and creation. Let's see if we can decipher this together. Psalm 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So here we have the question. Everything that has breath, right? Do animals on earth literally praise the Lord? Ask yourself that. Now, we could say by doing what God created them to do, they're bringing him glory, no doubt. His whole creation gives him glory. But are they literally giving him praise the way humans do? The answer is no. This is metaphor at work. I recently had a false teacher, a false music teacher, signs and wonder miracle guy, and he had a concert, and there were some elk trying to walk around the fence, and he claimed the elk were coming to praise God, and it was some sign that God was blessing them. And it sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? And everybody was buying into it like crazy, because people are into animals and pet idolatry here in America, but it's just not true. It's just not true when we understand metaphors and we see scripture. So let's look at some other scriptures and see the truth and then also understand the deep metaphor language. We see beasts in heaven praising God. All right, people use that. And I'm going to read some scriptures to you. But these are not beasts of the earth, okay? These are very different, strange, supernatural beings. Revelation 4, 8 through 9. And these four beasts, which had of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Now just think about that. Six wings, eyes, they never rest. They're in heaven giving praise to the Father. we can dogmatically 100% sure say these are not earthly like animals. Do they have characteristics? Yeah, wings, eyes, they call them beasts. Maybe the animals God put on earth are some type of copy of what's in heaven, and the ones in heaven were a prototype of what's on earth. We don't know this. We can't say it for sure, but these are not earthly creatures at all. These are supernatural creatures. So the beasts in heaven are not the same as the beasts on earth, so they're not praising God on earth the way these strange supernatural beasts do in heaven. Now, some are going to say, well, the creation groans, and they get that from this verse, Romans 8, 19 through 22. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because of the creature itself also shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So there we go, groaneth. The whole creation's groaning, right? And I talk about animals praising. Now they're saying the whole earth and creation is groaning. This, in context, is really about sin and the curse that God put the earth in over the sin and the fall of man. And basically, it's in a holding pattern of pain and suffering till what? The last days and a new heaven and earth come. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. What a glorious verse, huh? So that groaning literally is not talking about the earth and animals and the creation literally groaning. It's a metaphor of the earth is in travail, it's in curse, it's been cursed, it's in pain and suffering and death. In 2 Corinthians 5:2, we see Paul also using groaning, and he says this, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So we humans can groan. We also know the Bible says that the Spirit groans for us, but this is not earthly animals groaning. This is not the creation groaning, right? More on animals with metaphors that are powerful. Let's read this. Revelation 5, verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessed and honor and glory be power unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. So here we see metaphor talk. Yep, there's creatures in heaven, but animals on earth, do they talk like humans do? Well, other than a donkey being used of God one time, and we don't build common doctrine on God's one-time miracles, it's a rare, rare thing. Animals don't speak, do they? They don't have the conscience. They don't have the soul that we have. So they don't relate to God the same way we do, although he is the creator, and he clearly can do as he pleases, as we saw with the donkey, right? Powerful symbolism and metaphors. How about the verse right after that? Revelation 5:14. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lived forever and ever. Again, these are not earthly type animals. We have to be careful to say that animals and the earth is praising God, worshiping God. They don't do that. And you're going to see why as we use some more verses here with powerful metaphor language. Remember, it's something that's not literal. Here's some graphic examples of metaphoric language. Psalm 96, 11 and 2. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Wow, there's a lot there. Trees rejoicing, fields being joyful. Is that something they do? Or is that something reserved for the humans? No, not at all. This is metaphoric language. This is talking about the power of God and the power of all of his creation, knowing who he is, under his hand. It's his footstool. Amen? It is. More metaphoric language for you. Psalm 98:4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Now, all the earth would include what? All the creation, right? But do rocks and trees and lakes and animals as we know them on earth, do they sing and rejoice like man can because we're created in the image of God? No. Powerful metaphoric language teaching us a deep meaning to get our attention so we can ponder it in great, great depth. These are all things we need to ponder as we study the Word of God. We use them today, still, even in our modern language. I speak English, so how about a saying like this? I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. Can I really eat a horse at one sitting? No. Metaphoric, powerful language. How about this? I slept like a rock last night. How silly. Do rocks sleep? They're not alive. How can they sleep? Powerful metaphoric language. I hope that helps you to get a grip on what we're trying to portray. I slept like a rock means I slept really good. I'm overemphasizing it. Yeah, that's what God's doing when he talks about praise and worship in all the earth. I think it's important to note here, God communicates with us in ways for us, man, to grasp. It's him, via the Holy Spirit and his inspired word, trying to communicate these deep meanings to us in human ways we can understand. Like I said, I slept like a rock. When I say that, somebody goes, wow, he really slept deep. If I go, I slept pretty good. Not the same meaning, is it? So we see the power of metaphoric language at work here. Here's a few more, ready? Isaiah 55:12. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. I like that one. I've never seen mountains singing, and I've never seen trees clap their hands. Now, this verse really points out metaphoric language. Now, it's pretty cool, though. Trees do blow. Do you ever see them move back and forth? And yeah, you could kind of look like they're dancing or moving, but we know they aren't, right? It's the wind that's doing it. We know mountains don't sing. Other than wind making noise, perhaps. That's the wind then, right? Again, non-literal metaphoric language. Very powerful. Finally, let me give you one more verse to illustrate the point I'm trying to make here. Psalm 97:1. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Go look up that word in the Hebrew. Isles, it means islands. That's like piles of rocks surrounded by water. Can rock islands really be glad? Are they alive? Do they have a conscience? Do they have feelings and emotions? No. It is powerful metaphoric language God is trying to portray to his people who will listen through his word. I hope that this discussion of metaphoric hyperbole language and then pulling in this animal singing or the earth giving praise as an example, I hope this helps you to see that it's not literal. It's a language tool. It's powerful. It's meaningful. But we must rightly divide it or we get swept away in all kinds of craziness. If we understand the use of metaphor or hyperbole in Scripture, it will help us grasp the deep spiritual meanings, the depths of the truth God's trying to relay to us. He's trying to instill in us. And if we can understand it rightly, rightly dividing, this is why we study and rightly divide and meditate the Word of God. John 14, the Spirit will teach you all things. He's going to guide us to these truths and these facts. You won't be confused by false doctrines, by the craziness we see going around us, saying animals are singing and worshiping God. And I got a I'll close with this. I got a music article I'm coming up with where this guy's a crazy false gospel, worldly NAR, New Apostolic Reformation heretic. He takes the sound of stars and oceans and whales and he puts it together and he makes music. And you'll see it. It is crazy. It's this kind of stuff. Instead of seeing that these are metaphoric language, they literally try to go and build something. And what it becomes is mysticism. Mysticism is adding spiritual things that God never intended. God didn't intend us to believe that the earth is actually glad and that the islands are glad and enjoy and that the animals are praising him here on earth. He wanted us to see depth and meaning to his word so we can understand it, hide it in our hearts. Maybe, how about this one? I'll leave you with this. Maybe this all helps us get a picture of what heaven is going to be like in our little, tiny, finite minds. Does metaphoric language help us to maybe see what heaven could be like with these creatures and with all that he's created being there for his glory, working in unison? Hey, think about that, okay? Hope this has helped you. This has been Brother James. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog, Pouring Out Every Day, sisters' blogs, audios, videos, verse-by-verse Bible studies. We love God. We love our neighbor. We're there to help you in the faith. Hold fast to the true word. Do not be deceived, rightly dividing it, and let us know how we can help you. We're traveling the gospel road preaching. We're getting ready to plan our fall and winter route. I think we're headed east, then down the eastern seaboard, then south to a lot more events, preaching Christ crucified. We love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.